Come on, let's go. Let me encourage you, parents out there, get your kids here, please, your youth, and make sure that you're taking that time. There's, of course, word being prepared for them to hear, and it's an important thing. Amen. All this disruption in our lives of late has been just not good. You know, the disruption of the schools. I know the kids are going, hey, we're not upset about not going to school. Ultimately, you will miss that, and you need to get back to school. And hopefully it's going to happen, you know. I don't know. Now they're talking the end of August before they start them, and they're, you know, who knows. But, man, they need to get the kids back to some normalcy, because the next little bug that floats around, what are people going to do? Are we going to play this game with every virus that shows up? That's what I want to know. Thank you, Lakin. She says, no, we're not going to do that. Praise God. Come on, let's get into the word tonight. And somebody say, well, it's a serious thing. Every virus is serious, okay? So I get it, but still, life has to go on, and we need to step up, praise God, and do what we need to do. All right, book of Amos. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. So it's back there in the Old Testament. Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Amos. Y'all there? Amos. Are any parents naming their babies Amos anymore? I mean, that's a good biblical name, you know. Amos Yankunis. That's what we should have named Austin. Amos Yankunis. That'd been all right. Amos chapter 3. All right, we're going to talk about terms of agreement tonight. Terms of agreement. Now, in Amos chapter 3, look at verse number 3. You know this verse of scripture. You've heard it. You know the New Testament counterpart to it, and we'll look at that in a moment too. But verse 3 reads this way, and it's a principle that we're bringing out here tonight. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, it's real tough if you're latched to somebody. Let's say you're tied together with a rope, and one wants to go that way and the other wants to go this way. You've got a big problem. Two cannot walk together unless they agree with where they're headed. Amen? So it's pointing out a very simple principle. The Hebrew word means to fix upon by agreement or appointment for agreed. Can two walk together except they be agreed? In other words, they can't walk together unless they're fixed upon by agreement or appointment what they're going to do. So the importance of being in agreement when we want to pray together and have a prayer, and sad to say, there are people in the body of Christ that don't even know what a prayer of agreement is. And I am, you know, absolutely astonished that there are some pastors in this town that don't know what the prayer of agreement is. You know, I guess that's, I don't know, there's really no excuse. Because as a pastor, you need to learn how to agree with others so they can get their prayers answered. That's part of the problem why people don't get their prayers answered, because there's not really agreement. Amen? You got to have agreement. Agreement. So let's look at a definition of agree in the Greek language. In fact, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 18, because that is where the prayer of agreement is outlined that Jesus taught. And this is a very, very powerful tool for us as believers, the prayer of agreement, or the principle of agreement. One puts 1,000 to flight, the Bible says. Two puts 10,000 to flight. In other words, there's strength in numbers. And it's very, very important. The word is real clear. It says, if two of you agree on earth as touching anything. Two. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18 and jump in there at verse number. Let's look at 18. I like 18, of course. I like them all, but we've got to jump in somewhere because we need to get to the verse 20. 18 reads, verily I say to you, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's the prayer, binding and loosing, or the authority that you have to forbid and permit in line with the word of God. He's given us that authority. Verse 19, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now that is a fact right there. If you, any two of you agree on earth as touching or coming to a place of, in other words, this is what we're going to agree on. We can agree on this. As touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. How many of y'all have ever prayed the prayer of agreement? Had somebody agree with you? You get into agreement and boom, God does something. There are times that the prayer of agreement has seemingly not worked. But what would that be called? That would be called a prayer of disagreement or no unity, because Jesus guaranteed right here, if two of you will agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. He already said it would be done if you agreed. The problem is when we don't get results is because, in fact, we're really not in agreement. Now, the word agree means this. It's symphoneo. And symphoneo is to be harmonious. We get the word symphony from it. To accord or be suitable, concord. I like that. Agree together, agree with. But to be harmonious. When you're harmonious, you're working together, doing things in harmony, okay? Not disunity. Not one going one way and one pursuing something else. That's a real problem in marriages, I don't mind telling you. If one begins to pursue something and someone pursues something else, and before you know it, you got, you know, they're like two ships passing in the night, and before long, the couple begins growing apart instead of together. Agreement is essential. We were talking about agreement today. We were discussing this, Ann and I, and in fact, Austin was there, and I said, you know, you don't ever, ever want to get into a relationship where there's not agreement. Because if there's not agreement, I mean, the agreement and the foundational agreement that must be for a believer is that the person that they are going to get into a relationship with is a believer of like precious faith. And that's essential. If you want to have a happy marriage, then you choose somebody who is committed like you are to the things of God. Okay? If I'm going to, and I have that, and I did that, that was one of the things I found about Anne, was that we were, quickly, I could see that we were in agreement about spiritual things. I didn't have to say, have you read your Bible today? I didn't have to, you know, hound her about, okay, we're going to be going to church, you know. I'm the pastor, you know. you're going to go to church, right? You know, if I have to do that, that wouldn't have been the woman for me, right? Y'all understand what I'm saying? So agreement is vital. It has to be there. There has to be, the person has to be turned on to the things of God without you prodding them. Amen, anyway. So that was something that she saw in me, that I took the word and walked it and talked it, and we've been together for 31 years. 31. I was going to say 30, but it's 31. So actually now 32, because we met about a year before we got married. So a little over a year before we got married. Praise God. And I don't advise you to get married after knowing somebody for just maybe a year. But I was 29 years old, and I was ready, and we knew, and she knew, and we were good to go. Proof's in the pudding. Praise God. All right. Agree in Webster's means this. Consent or promise, be of the same opinion, be harmonious, there it is again, or in accord. Match exactly or concede is true, but match exactly, I like that. Harmonious in attitude. Harmonious in our attitudes. So if we're going to come into agreement in prayer about a situation that somebody's dealing with, Pastor, you know, we've prayed and we're in agreement. Okay, my first question to that is, are you really in agreement? Do you really have agreement? You remember when we did the illustrated where we started a note in the church, and I gave it to somebody right here. Aunt, maybe it was you, honey. And then you told it to somebody, and we went around the room. By the time it got all the way over here, ooh, man, it was misconstrued. We had fun with that. I knew I had an ace in the hole in the congregation at that time who I knew would goof it up big time, and I'm not going to say who it was. They're not here any longer. They moved away. But it was funny, and that's exactly where it hit. It was so goofed up by the time we got over here. The message, and we read the message. Some of y'all were here. We read the original message, and then and what was told as it was passed on to the end, and the person at the end said what they had heard, it wasn't even close. So we're in agreement, Pastor Dan. Are you really? And the minute you start really digging into a situation, oh, well, I thought we were agreeing that the surgery would go well. And the person over here saying, no, I thought we were in agreement that I wouldn't have surgery. Oh. Agreement doesn't work if it's not there. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it'll be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Look at verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And what is that really pointing at? Two or three are gathered together in my name. In harmony, in unity, in agreement. Now, we can all agree in here tonight that Jesus Christ is Lord. Can I hear an amen? Yeah, amen. That's not a problem at all. The terms of agreement, when we start talking about prayer requests, there's some areas of breakdown. Communication is essential in order to have agreement. That's why one of the big main areas in marriage is learning how to communicate. Because if you can't communicate, you can't get into agreement. If you're not in agreement, you're in disunity, and that'll only breed problems. So the agreement factor comes into play in our relationships, in a lot of things in life. So let's look at these hindrances to agreement. I'm just going to give you, what, four or five of them? Four. Three, actually, not four. I'm going to cut that one out because it's in the other one here. Okay, first one is lack of information. Let's go over to Hosea. Go back into the Old Testament. Hosea, it's right after Daniel, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, name, there you go. Hosea chapter 4, Hosea chapter 4, look at verse number 6, vital, vital, people. This is a vital verse. You need to know this. You need to not forget this. My people are destroyed. Do you see that? Or cut off for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. My people are destroyed or perish for a lack, or are cut off for a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge. Well, a problem in terms of what we're talking about tonight about an agreement is when you have a lack of information, how can you agree on something that you don't know of? Oh, I forgot to tell you that this is really what I'm believing for? I've had people come up to me and ask for agreement in prayer before, wanting me to agree on something that I knew good and well they didn't have the faith to really believe for. You say, how'd you know that? Are you the judge? Well, because I knew them. They were part of the church. I knew that there was no way that they could get into agreement with that based on where they were at in their walk with Christ. And it was questionable whether I could. One, I remember shooting for the stars. I mean, somebody will say, well, you know, you ought to aim for the stars, and if you even get halfway there, well, yeah, I suppose I've said that myself before, but When somebody wants to agree for a very expensive home, cash for a very expensive home, and they don't have enough money to pay attention right now, that's pretty serious. That's a futile thing. No, let's start where we can start. You know, what I can agree for and what you can agree for may not be the same thing. You might agree at a higher place than me, or me at a higher place than you. It doesn't, you know, whatever. But if there's not agreement, it won't work. Agree with me, Pastor. Now, wait a minute. What word are you standing on? What word are you standing on? And we're not talking about, you know, sometimes the working of miracles happens, and the prayer of agreement doesn't even come into play there. We're talking about stuff that comes up in our lives throughout the day, throughout the weeks, the months. Hey, I need agreement and prayer for this situation. I've had people do this, and they explain to me, and they tell me what's going on. They tell me what verse of scripture is standing on, and say, I'll say, okay, I can agree with that. I can. Okay, let's outline this, and you tell me exactly what you're believing for, and then I'll get myself into agreement there. And these are the verses of scripture we're standing on. But if you have a lack of information, you're going to perish. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. So a lack of information is a problem. We must have the same information to agree or to match exactly. We have to be harmonious in our attitude and have an exact match in the facts of what we are saying we're agreeing on. How many times prayers of, quote, prayers of agreement have not come to pass because one was believing this and one was believing this? Oh, well, that doesn't matter. God knows my heart. Yeah, but the person that you're trying to get into agreement with doesn't. And if they don't, you don't have agreement. So number two is wavering back and forth. This is a big one. This is a big one for sure. These are hindrances to agreement, wavering back and forth. There's no agreement with someone when their stand sways back and forth. One day, yes, the next day, no. One day I'm believing for this, the next day, oh, I don't know. One day they're all excited, the next day they're mad. Never works. Never works. You might as well just write that down. That's a waste of time to try to pray and get into agreement with somebody who's up and down, in and out, happy one day, mad the next, believe in God one day, fooey on that stuff, it doesn't work anyway, the next day. You know, and it's like, until you settle some things, that wavering back and forth is not certainly ever going to produce anything good in your life. Go to James chapter 1. You know the verse of scripture here. Look at verse number 6. So he's talking about when a person asks, and this applies right here. We need to pull out the principle when you're asking. You can't do it with an attitude that is wishy-washy. Yeah, one day I'm up, the next day I'm down. Man, I don't know about you, but I can't stand that. We need to be the same way all the time. Well, isn't that kind of boring, Pastor Dan? No. I'm talking about in the way that you go about your life living as a believer. People ought to know that you're going to be the same tomorrow. Whether things are going right for you or not, you're not going to act like a person who doesn't even know Christ. Every one of us have had hard times in our lives. But as believers, we need to be those that are going to act the same way. That doesn't mean that you might not have a bad day from time to time. I understand that. Just don't let it ever be the whole day. You know what I mean? You might get up in the morning, and they talk about getting up on the wrong side of the bed. In order for me to get up on the wrong side of the bed, I have to crawl over and to get out on the other side. And that's certainly not going to work. What is that wrong side of the bed business anyway? That's just made up. It's just getting out of bed and letting the enemy begin to direct your steps, and letting situations and feelings get involved, and letting your body talk to you. Do you know that your body will never tell you anything about the Word of God? The thoughts that you have, the body has a voice, and your body will never tell you to read your Bible. Your body will say, you've had a rough day, you don't need to go to church. You don't need to get up in the morning. You don't, you know, your body will tell you to avoid scriptural things. Your body will always, it's always selfish. It's always about you. Your body has a voice, and if we could just figure out how the body speaks to us, and we could say no to it, we'd be a lot better off. Amen? The body, I'm telling you, when you have a thought that, you know, something from the scriptures, understand, that is not your body, your flesh. It is not talking to you. That's coming up out of your spirit man. And your spirit man can be trusted because God lives in your spirit. But your body will say, it'll always take things and take them to excess. You know, there's nothing wrong with playing golf or fishing or some of the other things that we do, you know. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when that starts replacing time with your family, time with God, Sunday morning you wake up and you go, oh, I've had a tough week. I just need to sleep some more today. We need to have family time today. The devil has pulled that on so many people, and Christians have bitten on that bait. Oh, yeah, family time. Family time is, you know, no, family time ought to be in church. Amen? That old saying, the family that prays together stays together, ooh, man, that is right. That is right. You talk about stability. Amen? Sure. Thank you, Lord. But this wavering back and forth, look at verse number 6. Back up to 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Not wavering at all. Not being up or down. I mean being steady. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Wherever the wind is pushing that person is where they're going to go. One day they're up, one day they're down. Like a wave of the sea. You've been on boats before. Have you ever gotten sick out there on a boat? Anyone ever get sick on a boat? I was out on a little, about a 15-foot boat on Lake Winnebago one time. And Lake Winnebago is the big lake in Wisconsin when you look on the map, and that where the arm of the state, well, you can't see it there, it's covered up, but the arm of the state goes up here, and Green Bay's right up there if you know where Green Bay's at because of the Packers, okay? But there's a lake in Wisconsin. That's Lake Winnebago. It's a big lake. It's a big lake. The problem with that lake is it's not very deep at all. It's maybe 15 feet, 20 feet deep. I'll tell you what the problem with that is. It starts whipping up. It gets rough in a hurry. You get a storm, it's like a big puddle. And it gets nasty out there, and many people have died. And the waves, I mean, it was kind of rough the day we were out there with my uncle. And, man, I was like, whoa. And, you know, after a while, you got used to everything. But at first, boy, oh, boy, you know. Don't they give you seasickness pills for people that go on ships and stuff, right? What are they? Patches? Dramamine? Yeah. What is it?
On an airplane.
On an airplane. Oh, yeah, there you go. So I've never had those, but I think the Dramamine just puts you to sleep, doesn't it? Yeah. Drowsy, yeah. Remember that? When we were on that trip, that's right, you took one of those one time. Can't stay awake. Well, let me see what's in it. Oh, my goodness. It's drowned. No wonder. Go to sleep. You're all right. Yeah. So there's no agreement with someone when their stand sways back and forth. One day, yes. Next day, no. Can't have it. That is a hindrance to agreement. That will stop your prayers from being answered every time. Every time. We need to stay in there for the duration. And the last one that I want to bring out is a lack of desire. You really have to exercise your own will in order to get into agreement with somebody. And the prayer of agreement, you don't just choose anybody to try to agree. You need to choose somebody that you know will not come out of agreement. In fact, you've heard me say this to you, and those of you that I've had prayers of agreement with, I'm believing, I'm not coming out of agreement, I'm staying in agreement with you. Now, whether or not the person stayed in agreement, I don't know. That is a problem. One can stay in agreement, one can back out. It's easier for me to get into agreement with people after I know what's going on, get into agreement, pray it, and then resist the temptation to try to figure out how this can come to pass and how we can figure it out mentally, how God is going to pull this off. That's where most of the battles are lost, right there. That trying to decipher it and figure it out with your giant brain. And I'm not saying you don't have a giant brain, but faith is not of the brain. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear a bigger amen? Faith is not of the head. That's not where it's at. That is mental assent, and it never produces results. So what you have to do is have the facts, decide to take the stand, be in it for the duration, and the desire to get into agreement has to be fed. All right, you have to feed that. The Bible says in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, you remember this, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. What things soever you desire. Here's the barb on that statement. It's very important that you realize you can't believe God for something that you don't have enough faith to bring about. Now, Christ's faith purchased everything that we have available to us. But for you to gather and gain the particulars of what his faith bought and paid for, your faith has to grow to trust in what his faith produced. Because if it wasn't that way, you'd never have to hear the word of God again. Because the word, when you hear the word, faith comes by hearing. Amen? So yes, Christ's faith bought it all. The agreement, that diatheke. In Hebrew, it's berith, but that's the word for covenant. Diatheke. You had one here, Jesus and the Father, and they got into agreement and cut a covenant between them. You and I, all we can do is go, well, it was Christ's faith. The Bible said, Paul talks about it, always in the light of what was produced through his living and living a sinless life and dying and raising up from the dead. Redemption was purchased through the faith of Christ. That's in the genitive case in Greek. That shows possession. It was actually Christ's faith. But now for you and I, that's what was done. That's what we look at. That's called the new covenant. That's all those rites in there of the new covenant. And you and I, as believers, we need to have our faith built up. So we need to get into the word. So we can believe what Christ's faith actually is providing. But it's not done through reason, and it's not done just for whosoever who doesn't ever want to believe. It's for whosoever will believe. Whosoever believes, amen? Can I hear an amen? It's true. So your faith has to grow in order to receive what the faith of Christ has already purchased for you. You've heard me say this. It's a package deal. The new covenant, that was the covenant cut between Jesus and the Father. And you and I say, I believe that. I accept what he did for me. I couldn't produce my salvation with my faith. All I can do is trust that his faith did it, and I believe in him. Jesus said on more than one occasion, in fact, Paul said it too, by your faith be it done unto you. By your faith be it done unto you. So, you know, that's our responsibility in this, is to grow in the word. The more I read the Bible, the more I spend time fellowshipping with the Father, the more I pray in the Spirit, I'm built up on my most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost, that's what Jude 20 is all about. That happens. So if I'm going to have agreement with you and you with me, we've got to have the facts down. Our desire has to be being fed. We have to resist the tendency to sway back and forth. We need to remain steady. Okay, if we're agreeing, we're agreeing. If you're not agreeing, tell me, because I'm wasting my time if I think I'm in agreement with you or vice versa, and the thoughts have changed, and now we're not in agreement anymore. Man, I've had prayers of agreement that didn't come to pass, and I came to find out the person I thought I was agreeing with quit months ago. And I'm like, oh, thanks for telling me, you know. Because I'm not about to go around every day and see if the person is, you know, still in the agreement. You want agreement? Let's settle it right here. Praise God. There's a reason God's not able to do for us what he has promised us in his word. We haven't agreed with him. Can two walk together unless it be agreed? No. If two of you on earth will agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. Now, there is some stipulations there. You can't agree on something that's not God's will. You can't agree on something that runs contrary to the will or the word of God and expect it to happen. It won't work. It won't work. And if you only have this much faith, you know, you're new, you got into the Word a little bit, your faith is beginning to grow, your understanding of the Word, and you're beginning to develop, you're praying in the Spirit, you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're praying in the Spirit, you're being built up on the faith that you have, but the situation that you are trying to believe for requires a whole lot more faith. Well, if you don't have enough faith, you're trying to believe for something that requires this much faith and you have this much, guess what? That's like going down to the store with a $10 bill and trying to buy something that's $100. It won't work. Right. You need to find somebody that can kick in the other 90. Amen. Amos 3:3, your walk is hindered when you strive against the Lord in thought and deed. So can two walk together unless they be agreed? Absolutely not. You can't strive against him in your thought or in deed. You know, this is why keeping the slate clean, staying away from unforgiveness, walking in love, faith works by love. I was telling somebody this today. Faith works by love. You can't get angry and expect the prayer of agreement to work. If we're in agreement and you're constantly getting mad at the situation for it not turning around, that hinders faith. That's not love. You can get mad at the devil, okay? And you need to be mad at the devil. But if you're mad at the person who's being used of the enemy, well, your faith won't work and the agreement is shot. Okay? So this is a very, very vital thing. You know, Pastor, we're in agreement now. We agreed in prayer. But my question has always been, have we? Where are you at with that? Are you still in agreement? Precisely what are you believing? Get that information. You know, sometimes we jump in too quick to try to pray for things. You hear me? Well, Pastor, pray with me over this situation. Well, I got somebody who is trying to believe God for something that there's no way that they're going to believe God. You know, you'd be better off going to the doctor, get the thing taken care of, and be done with it. Pray when you go, but you're not going to have agreement, and unless the working of miracles happens, it isn't going to happen. I've been pastoring a long time, and I've seen a lot of situations with people. I've seen God do miracles, and I've seen people try to step into areas where they try to obtain agreement with somebody else, and it doesn't work, and they end up having to go the way that they should have gone in the first place. So you just need to use wisdom with it, and, you know, not everybody has enough faith to rise to that one level there. I mean, just I've seen God do supernatural mighty things. And then I've seen other situations not turn around because the agreement wasn't there. So, you know, don't confuse the working of miracles or healings when we're talking about phanerosis of the Holy Spirit, those gifts, if you will. Don't confuse that with your daily walk of faith. All right, that happens once in a while, and praise God when it does. Praise God when it does, you know. And I've seen some miracles happen. In fact, we had a miracle just not too terribly long ago. Last week, it was a week before, when the report came back, no diabetes in one of our members' bodies that has had diabetes for a lot of years. Totally healed. So now, I'm telling you, that is miraculous. That was a prayer that I remember went up years ago. And I remember the day when it went out and some of y'all, if you're struggling with diabetes still, okay, well, just understand, you're in that same prayer line. That person was sitting right over here that day when we prayed that prayer. And it took how many years, but they got the total clean bill, the diabetes is gone, okay? How did that happen? I don't know. I don't really care. Because I can't do it, and you can't do it. But the Father gets the glory for it. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, quickly, we'll just sum this up. Many times we are not really in agreement. We need to strive to get to that place of agreement. And I say strive by doing three things. Write the thing down, discuss it, and then verbalize it. Write it down, what you're talking about, what you're praying. Get the scriptures down, discuss it. Make sure that you are on the same page with the person. These frivolous prayers of agreement are never really prayers of agreement. If you really want to know the fact, it's best if you write the scriptures down that you're standing on, give it to the person. Here are the verses I'm standing on. Here's what I'm believing. Here's what I'm believing for. Can you agree with me? And be honest with them if you can't. Don't play Mr. or Mrs. Spiritual. Oh, yes, I can. And you're going, and you know good and well on the inside of you, you're like, gee, if I could do that for you, I'd do it for me. So be honest about it, and if you really are not in agreement, then don't, under false pretenses, enter into something like that and call it the prayer of agreement. A successful communication experience is vital in dealing with people when we're going to pray and get into agreement, okay? So please stand to your feet. Many times, just frankly, I don't know any other way to say it, the agreement isn't really there, okay? Now, it's wonderful when it is, and it's wonderful when the good report comes, and praise God for that. But that's why one prayer of agreement I had today, I mean, I questioned some things before I would pray, and it's because I needed to know. I needed to know, you know, and this has to be this way, okay, are we good there? Yes, it was a pretty basic thing, but absolutely, we have to be on the same page, amen? Amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, prayer of agreement works. It does. But we have to be in agreement. That little experiment that we did with the message, and then we passed it around the room verbally. It was written down to the first person, then they told it verbally to the next person. They told it to the next one, and it went all the way around the sanctuary. That's really an excellent example of a successful communication experience, or an unsuccessful, in this case, communication experience. What was told them was not what they heard. And you and I filter things that we hear through our life experience. Somebody says something to you and you immediately assume something that's not really there. Be careful of that in your communication with one another. Be careful of that in your marriages, that misunderstandings are not coming about because you're really not listening. Who's ever been guilty of not listening? What? Yeah. Every one of us in here. Did you hear me? Larry, did you hear that? I don't think so, Tim. Yeah, thank you. That would have been a great illustration right there. You just looking out the window or something, you know. And we need to play that one. That would be funny. Anyway, but praise God for that. Listen to each other. Communicate in order to get into agreement, okay? Praise God. The prayer of agreement works. It does. But if it'll help you to write the things down, the scriptures you're standing on, do that. Do that. Thank you, Lord. Quickly, I'll close with this. You remember years ago we used to put those, we'd have the prayer of agreement and we'd write up a contract, a faith contract. You remember that? I've seen a lot of those come to pass. Here are the verses we're standing on. Here's what we believe, and then you can sign it. This is what I believe. This is what I'm believing for, and if you can agree, and you know what? You can get more than just two. You can get 200 if you want. Get a bunch of people that really agree with you. That's why there's so much power in prayer. If the nation will pray, seek the face of God, why do you suppose that's in the Word? If my people who are called by name will humble themselves and pray in unity, unified, in faith, my goodness, wonderful things can happen when a country gets together. And look at all the junk that can happen when there's a lot of disunity. Come on, let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we praise you and bless you tonight and thank you for the word. We thank you for the prayer of agreement. We thank you for the faith, Lord God, that abides on the inside of us. Thank you for the faith of Christ that bought and purchased and made available all of those covenant blessings that are ours and received by faith. So, Father, we just thank you tonight and give you the glory for us remembering this message regarding the prayer of agreement and these terms of agreement, and not sidestepping any of them, but being very, very conscious of those things that we need to have in place where true agreement is concerned. We thank you and praise you tonight for that, and we bless you, sir, and give you the glory in Jesus' name. If y'all can agree, come on, say amen. Amen. Praise God.